Grandparents' Day. Happy Grandparents' Day. So if we have any grandparents today, would you please stand so we could give you a round of applause. Any grandparents here today? Amen. Happy Grandparents' Day. Thank you. Thank you. Good job. We appreciate you. You know, Jean Pere once wrote, "An hour with your grandchildren can make you feel young again. Anything longer than that, you start to age quickly." But and someone else once said that no cowboy was ever faster on the draw than a grandparent pulling a baby picture out of their wall. Or in my case, up on the screen behind me with my sweet granddaughter, Juniper, whom I just love and adore. I'm so proud of that little June bug. As many of you here today are just as proud of your grandchildren as well. They're just beautiful. You know, one little grandmother was surprised by her 7-year-old grandson one morning because he decided to make her a cup of coffee. And after drinking quite a few sips of her coffee, she decided that that probably was the worst cup of coffee she'd ever had. Because when she almost got to the bottom of her cup, she discovered that there were those little 3 green army men at the bottom of her coffee. And so she looked at them and she looked at her little grandson and she said, "Honey, what are these little green army men doing at the bottom of my coffee cup?" And her grandson said, "Well, Grandma, it says on TV that the best part of waking up are soldiers in your cup." Well, for some of you younger people, you probably aren't familiar with that Folgers coffee commercial, but grandchildren can get away with stuff like that with grandparents because they know that they're safe and that they know that they're loved. And that what's really important for these little ones are to know that there's somebody, grandparents are somebody that they can lean on. And they can laugh with them, they can learn with them, and they can talk to, and they can mainly hug them. Chances are that good grandparents won't ask you a lot of pin-you-to-the-wall questions such as, "Hey, did you make that bed yet?" Or, "Hey, have you got those dishes done yet? Or have you finished your homework?" Most grandparents' favorite gesture is open arms. And their favorite questions are, "Hey, what do you want to do?" Or, "Hey, where do you want to go?" And their favorite words are, "I love you, honey." And they don't look for mistakes. Most of the time, you'll find grandparents forgiving them. And they don't remember how you spent your last dollar foolishly. Matter of fact, sometimes they can give you a few dollars. They always seem to forget what you've done wrong. And they don't skip pages when they read books to you, like most parents do at bedtime. Nor do they say, "Hurry up," when you want to see how far you can skip that rock across the lake, hurrying up to get to the next place they want to go. But best of all, when you want to talk to them, they're there to listen. Long, loud lectures are usually out, and comments like, "You got to be ashamed of yourself," or "That's just stupid." Those things are out. But it's usually funny, because grandparents aren't really interested in clothing and possessions and money and stuff like that, merely as they're just interested in just you. Just you. And so today I want to look at grandparents. There's really no book in the Bible, or not even a section of the Bible, that talks at great length about the role of grandparents. But one thing's for sure, that we all share a fact about grandparents, and that is we may have known them or we may have not known them. And at that point, we can enter this subject by 100 different doors. By that means some are here raising their grandchildren. Others were raised by their grandparents. I've talked with some of you who were raised by your grandparents. Some here maybe have never even met their grandparents. They may have passed on before you had a chance to meet them. Others here know them quite well. Others have warm memories and an ongoing relationship with their grandparents and their grandchildren. And for others, the relationships may have been a little frosty. It may have been a little cold and prickly and difficult or a little vague. Some here are great-grandparents, even great-grandparents. Do we have any great-grandparents here today? Oh, we have a couple. Yeah, good to be. Very good. Others of you may become grandparents in the future, and some may never become grandparents at all. But regardless of your status, each one of us here play a significant role, and that's for God to leave us to impart something for some of us here, for the younger people in the future. A legacy to protect them, to guard them with the wisdom that we have and the knowledge that we obtained on our journey in life while we walk this planet. What will your name leave behind? Because legacies, they find no limits. Because legacies, they light the way. Legacies lead. They test all these boundaries. And grandparents are the guardrails in keeping these legacies on track with a purpose and a risk that clings to the promise of hope. Grandparents who have or perhaps will play some role in your life, well, the Bible can be some help in that. And if you have your Bible, turn to Psalms chapter 78 today in the Old Testament. Psalm 78 in God's Word. A Maskil of Asaph is what it's entitled. Psalms chapter 78. It reads, "Listen, O my people, to my instruction." That means it's pretty important. "Incline your ears to the words of my mouth. I will open my mouth in a parable. I will utter dark sayings of old, which we have heard and known. And our fathers have told us. We will not conceal them from our children." Verse 4. "And tell them to the generation to come the praises of the Lord and His strength and His wondrous works that He has done." Verse 5. "For He has established a testimony in Jacob and appointed a law in Israel, which He commanded our fathers, that they should teach them to their children, that the generation to come might know, even the generation yet to be born, that they may arise and tell them to their children, that they should put on their confidence in God, and not forget the works of God, but to keep His commandments, and not be like their fathers, a stubborn and rebellious generation, a generation that did not prepare its heart, and whose spirit was not faithful to God." I believe grandparents are an important factor in God's plan. And what I mean by their guardrails to the kingdom is that a guardrail is a system that's actually designed to keep vehicles from straying into off-limit areas. Because nobody really pays attention to guardrails unless you really need one. And there's all kinds of guardrails. Guardrails are really that invisible part of our driving experience that we have, but we're there and we're glad when we need them. But for the most part, we really never pay any attention to them. And you generally have guardrails in three different areas. You find guardrails on bridges. Because on a bridge, there's very little margin for error when you go on a bridge. And in life, sometimes we have to act in a way that's pleasing and acceptable to society. And there's very little room for our views, the way we think things ought to be. And grandparents can help us find our way when it comes to crossing those bridges in life, to help us from keeping and flying off the handle sometimes and showing us the right way to do that. You also find guardrails and medians when in the areas of driving very, very close to people or places and people driving in the opposite direction. And because the closer we are to people driving in the opposite direction, the more we need protection. The third area you find guardrails specifically are around curves where unexpected changes in roadside conditions can happen. And grandparents are really, really great for helping us with those unexpected changes in life. Now, the really interesting thing about guardrails is that guardrails are not really actually located in the most dangerous part in the road, if you've ever noticed that. Because the point of the guardrail isn't really to say that you don't drive on this particular part of the road or this particular piece of real estate. The guardrail says that beyond this point is danger, and may it be oncoming traffic or curves or mountainsides or edges of bridges or so forth. So guardrails are actually constructed in areas where theoretically you could drive on or off of. The guardrails are designed to keep us from moving into an area where there's actual danger. Nobody really argues the point to say, hey, I don't know why they put guardrails on this bridge. They need to get rid of these guardrails because I'd kind of like to drive on that side of the bridge or side of the edge of the bridge. We don't say that kind of thing. We're glad some of those guardrails are there, especially if you've ever driven in Guatemala with Pastor Gregory talking to you while he's driving, and you look at the side of the cliff and there's a 1,000-foot drop-off, and there's no guardrails. So you like guardrails when they're there. But the theory behind a guardrail is that you'll do less damage to your body, or even in some cases, less damage to your car, if you would hit a guardrail than what you would do on the other side of the guardrail. So the whole idea that it's okay to do a little bit of damage in order to keep you from creating or experiencing a lot of damage. So if you think that in terms of driving, that ditch you went off to or that cliff you rolled off to relationally, or however you describe it, your greatest regret could have been avoided and probably would have been avoided if you had some guardrails in your area, in your life financially, morally, relationally, in your marriage, in your parenting, or in your whole perspective or of authority, or whatever it might be. Grandparents are those guardrails in our areas of lives. And they're different than parents because parents define definite boundaries. So what I want to do is take this very common imagery of a guardrail to see how it applies to our lives. Because grandparents, like guardrails, leave a legacy in our families for a betterment from their past experiences by helping us create a personal standard of behavior in our family. Because what it does, it becomes a matter of our conscience for righteousness. Look at verse 6 and 7 in our text. So the next generation would know them, even the children yet to be born, and they in turn would tell their children. Then they would put their trust in God and would not forget His deeds, but would keep His commands. Now here's what I mean by grandparents are there to encourage you in your marriage. They're there to talk about your dating life, to advise you about your relationships, your friendships, and yes, even the time that you spend with your family. God has instituted them to think through and develop a personal standard of behavior within you. Become a matter of personal conscience that serves as a guardrail. And that's what they do. It's what I will be doing with my grandchild, Juniper. Because sometimes they can do it like a guardrail that goes unnoticed, like we don't notice guardrails when we drive. And the reason I say it's kind of a matter of conscience is this. In driving, the whole idea of a guardrail is that there's some damage done when you hit a guardrail. But it's less than the damage that would be done if there were no guardrail. Because grandparents have a way of getting through to you, much differently than parents do. And if you notice, the thing about guardrails is that they have very strong posts in them. And grandparents have very strong faith. They'll get dented, and they'll take dents, and they'll get bent, they'll get torn, and some of that metal on them will even come up out of the edge, and it'll be twisted and gnarled. But very, very rarely will you see those guardrails uprooted. That's a guardrail. And grandparents are there for you, especially on those dark, foggy nights. And as you bump into those guardrails internally, those little warning lights inside, if you come on, those red flags wave you there, something that says danger, danger, because I'm bumping up to get something. But if I ignore this, and I continue to bump up against it, it may lead me into an area of trouble from which I might not recover or from which I might live to regret the rest of my life. Because your regret could have and would have probably could have been avoided if your conscience would have simply been tuned in, if your conscience wouldn't have been tuned in to these big ideas you had, but if it would have been tuned in to the standard of behavior of righteousness that these guardrails called grandparents would have been guiding you with, then you would have sensed these warnings that you were getting too close to these big things that you possibly could regret. That's what I'm talking about. Grandparents are guardrails to the kingdom. They are the bumper pads to life that God places in your life. The decision is, will you realize the direction they're pointing you in? The direction that you're guiding you in? Or will you simply ignore them? It's a personal decision that you'll make regarding possibly your marriage, possibly a personal decision as it relates to the way you conduct yourself in friendships and dating, all of those things that are important in life. A personal decision that ignites your conscience and just stews there. Sometimes what they say to you, you just don't like it, but it stews there. And it becomes a standard sometimes in which you live. You may not like what they have to say, but it just stays with you. And that's why there's nothing more powerful than a praying grandparent on their knees. Because children belong on our prayer list. And no one likes to have their car dented by a guardrail, but it's much more better than if you would have lost your life. I was born with a club foot. But you never know that today. Because my grandparent prayed. When I was born, the only way to take care of a club foot was to have this ugly shoe made with about a 6-7 inch heel and just to learn to walk crooked on it. But my grandma searched, and they had this intern at a hospital, an intern that said, you know, I think I know a new way possibly that could fix that. And as they prayed, my grandmother worked for a church organization, and she solicited churches all around to pray. And so he began to do a series of casts on my leg that would literally form a heel on my foot. And through many years of painstaking reforming that cast on my foot, I developed a heel, and I didn't have a club foot anymore. Praying grandparents can accomplish much, and dedicated parents as well. And so it'll help you equip for the battles that you fight and the victories that you win, especially as children come into maturity. The culture that we live today, as especially our children come into their teenage years, even in the young adulthood, whenever a child is baptized into our church, there's a point when we, as Pastor Adam or myself or Pastor Helen, say to you, the congregation, words of challenge to encourage the child and the parent a walk of faith. And when you say yes to this challenge, and you become in that moment a spiritual grandparent to that child. So many of you today here are spiritual grandparents without even realizing it. What a special legacy and blessing that you have before you. And more can be said about relationships about parents to children, but keep this in mind. Grandparents are God's intended gift to children with spiritual, moral gifts to share to them. So if you have a living grandparent today, give thanks to God for them and tell them thank you today. If you are a grandparent, just realize this, that you have thanks to God whose lives you have before you and a privilege to influence for good and be a guardrail to them. Whether or not you're a biological grandparent, give thanks to God for the children we have in this church, whom God has entrusted to us all to nurture, to admonish them, and to love them in the Lord. And in doing so, the family of God comes complete. And that's what makes churches like this church at Prayer of Faith special, is because we have a legacy of grandparents here who love children. And that's why I thank God for people like Miss Dorothy, who loves to come in and sing to our children songs of her youth that she grew up with to our children. They sound weird, and they don't know what they mean, but they're special to her, and she's passing down her legacy to them. She shares stories in her life of what God has done and brought her through trials and troubles. That's sharing her legacy. That's sharing what God has done in her life. A sage once remarked that the elderly slow down and they stoop over so that they can see things as children once again see, so that they can hold the hands of children who toddle along with inexperienced feet. That bug on the sidewalk, or that snail under the cabbage leaf, that robin pulling the worm out of that rain-moistened earth, these are the things that small children and their grandparents notice. Our grandchildren live in imperfect homes reared by imperfect parents, our sons and daughters, who are married to our sons-in-laws or our daughters-in-law, all of which are imperfect. And although we made mistakes in raising our children, our good news is, as grandparents who walk with the Lord, we can expect God to use us as guardrails to His kingdom and keeping them safe in this imperfect world. And because of our own immaturity, when our children, who are now parents, are growing up, and although, yes, we probably have disappointed them, but as God's grace keeping us around for grandparents and to enjoy our grandchildren, the Lord's giving us a ministry to fill in these gaps of our imperfect child rearing. Grandparents play a good role in the roles they play. They may be family historians, passing down value traditions, because now Jesus isn't just their Lord, He's their friend and their longtime counselor. And like a massive tree, grandparents provide this needed shade and beauty to the landscape, and they don't mind being used. They don't mind being climbed on, swung on. They're there. Even if much isn't happening, they're there. Attending ball games, school functions, birthday parties, graduations, weddings. They're there. Summer household negotiators, representing the children's interests to their parents. Others are playmates. Others are listening ears. And in a society that's just ravaged by divorce, many take up the responsibilities as caregivers and even surrogate parents. Psalm 78 is our primary text today for grandparents that they should turn to in order to understand their responsibility with future generations. I know I miss my grandmother. My grandfather, still 97 years old. But I have my grandmother's Bible here before me today, which is special. Very special. And I always remember looking at it. When I would go over to her house as a child in my preteen years, I remember we would look at these pictures and she would tell me the stories. This particular Bible had these beautiful paintings of Bible stories that captured my attention. And that's why I have it today as her legacy. Just a beautiful Bible. I have to hold it together with a piece of tape. But that's a legacy. That's her legacy. Psalms 78, the first 8 verses, command grandparents to teach and to tell the glory of the Lord and the hope of salvation of Jesus and the necessity of obeying God's commands. The remainder of Psalm 78 is a sad history of Israel's failure to transfer their faith from one generation to the other, resulting in a rebelliousness of one generation after another. Throughout the rest of the chapter, you'll see phrases such as, they sinned still more and more against Him, and they didn't believe in God, and they weren't faithful to His covenant. And these remind us an important role we must play to our grandchildren in the decisions with the Lord. And as a result, Israel continued their generational rebellion, and God gave His people over to the sword and vented His wrath on their heritage. And when grandparents just fail to teach their faith to their grandchildren, then much is lost. A God-fearing heritage is lost. I want to encourage you in regarding teaching your faith to the children. Not necessarily just from what culture demands, but grandparents' main role isn't just to spoil grandchildren and just be a companion to their grandchildren. I mean, all those things are important, but and neither is a grandparent's role just to enjoy the last third of your life just because it's you and to spoil just you and to spend it all on you. But God has given the grandparents' role to transfer their faith to the future generations, and may God give you fully over to this task, as well as God has given each one of us here today a role of sharing the gospel to each other as well as future generations. Because what you do today will leave a lasting impression tomorrow. Because this one thing I know, if you love and serve the Lord with all of your heart, then your life can continue to bear fruit in the lives of others. And it will, around you, as they become part of our legacy. In the Bible, in Psalms 92, verses 12 and 14, it states this: the righteous will flourish like a palm tree. They will grow like the cedar of Lebanon. Planted in the house of the Lord, they will flourish in the courts of our God, and they will still bear fruit in their old age. And they will stay fresh, and they'll stay green. It's all about living your legacy and what you leave behind. Take a look and see what I mean.
Legacies transcend the boundaries of time. We create them with or without our knowledge. Our words, our deeds, all pieced together, will form the history we leave behind. They are told, shown, held, felt. Memories we absent-mindedly create for countless tomorrows. Legacies are roads left paved for those that will follow. They leave trails filled with reflective ideals. They are monumental. They are minimal, but they are never forgotten. Children, grandchildren, neighborhoods, co-workers, friends, enemies, the lives of those around us inherit the story we leave behind. They make their way to everywhere, through tale or virtue. Legacies stand tall in the face of trial. They prevail. They're found in risk that clings to the promise of hope. Legacies can be found in tattered souls and wrinkles aged with wisdom. They make their way to empty rooms and trailing heartbeats. They find their way into the back of our minds, sit with us, lingering, waiting to be remembered. Found in humbled homes, inherited mansions, and tin-roofed rooms, legacies extend past the limited hours of your life and mine. Where have you seen them? Where have you taken them in? What will your name leave behind? Legacies test all boundaries. Legacies find no limits. Legacies light the way. Legacies lead. The choice is yours. What will be your legacy?
Will your name leave behind? And wisdom makes its way into empty rooms and trailing heartbeats, into the back of our mind and sits with us there lingering, risks that clings with a promise of hope. What kind of guardrail have you been in providing your legacy? How many people have scraped up against you regarding your faith, taken some dents from you, as you tried to keep someone from plummeting off the edge of the deep end? Or maybe part of your soul is just gnarled from near-death collisions from helping someone. All of which from you is providing your legacy and guiding others from the kingdom. Maybe some of you here today are determined to keep someone on path. It's just been a constant effort to provide them a way, a truth, and a light in guiding them to the kingdom and showing them the Christ in your life. And that's not been easy. If you're here today and perhaps God is quickening your heart to renew your vow, renew your commitment to Christ, to determine this, to say, today I'm going to do this in my family, maybe He's determined that in your heart. I don't know what the Spirit has spoken to you about today. I do know this, though, and that we have a task before us. We have a generation before us here that don't know God as we know God. Because our culture is in a changing, ever-changing way. And we have a task before us of imparting what God has shown our lives. And we can't assume that they just know it. We can't assume that they learn it at home. We can't even assume it that they'll learn it at church. So we have to teach them. We have to show them what's in our lives. We have to take them alongside of us and show them the love that resides in us. So don't assume anything when you see someone, a child, a young one, or even an adult. If God, if the Spirit is quickening something inside of you, then you need to share that with them. As our prayer counselors come to the front, please stand with me as we prepare to sing. Today, if you have never asked Jesus Christ into your heart, you can do that today by simply asking Him to forgive you of your sins, to wipe them clean, and to renew your heart. He'll make it as white as snow, and you'll experience times of refreshing, as mentioned in the book of Acts. For the clean slate, and you'll be His child. If today you have wandered away from the faith, then you can experience a renewal, a commitment to His vow by just asking for repentance. 1 John 1:9 says, if we confess our sins, then He is faithful and just to forgive us. He loves us. He's that way. Because He wants us as His children forever. Whatever it is, whatever's on your heart today, if you need healing, if you need encouragement, if you need support, your church, your family is here for you. Come as we sing.
This is the air I breathe. This is the air I breathe.
sang earlier about breaking chains and at the name of Jesus and how powerful that is. How powerful that is. And we've got to teach our generations about that. It's important. It's important they know that. It's important they see that as we come forward and do that. So they ask questions. Why are they going forward? Why do they do that? And we can tell them. They're becoming free. They're experiencing freedom. That's how they learn. When they come up here and they see that happening, they see that. And we sing about it. We see the power and the passion, and then they see it happen. That's how it happens. Thank you this morning for coming to the house and worshiping our Father. May His peace, grace, and power be upon you this week. Have a blessed week. Father, we thank you for all that you do for us, the blessings, the mercy, the grace, and the grace. Thank you for all that you do. Give us a wonderful week. Let us shine as your children to a world of darkness. Let us draw others to peace. We love you. Let us be a legacy. Let us show someone the way. Let us show a grandparent appreciation today. Father, we love you. In the name of Jesus, we pray. All the church said, amen. Hallelujah. Have a blessed week. We love you.